Bhagavad Gita, the mother that takes us out of this ocean of transmigration and delivers supreme bliss and eternal life. We have been trying to follow in this weekly class the precepts of this most wonderful scripture in the world. For last almost 5 years now, we have been studying this and have embarked on the 16th chapter since last Friday. And as we saw last Friday, that most of the philosophical aspects of Bhagavad Gita have been already finished. The goal has been presented to us, the realization of our true self, which is, when realized, when properly understood, is not something little confined to the body, but is all-pervading. It is not really getting buffeted between the so-called joys and sorrows of the world, but is eternal bliss. It is eternal life. It is all-pervading and complete knowledge. That is the true self, and obviously then that is the goal of life, because this is what we seek in life, and the happiness and the life, the existence, the knowledge, the love, all this in its infinite extensivity is contained in our true self and nowhere else. Therefore, seeking our true self, to experience our true self, becomes the goal of life. And the path also has been shown with various doubts raised by Arjuna, our representative, amply cleared by God, Lord Krishna. Now it may sound that now what is left? The Bhagavad Gita should have been stopped there. But friends, no. Something very important is still left out. At least not elaborated completely. It was hinted in the 7th chapter, but a complete elaboration was not given at that time because of certain questions raised by Arjuna, and also because of the main emphasis on understanding the philosophy and the impetus on the realization of the self. Now, some very important things to remember are being told. What is to be understood is told already. Now, in the upcoming these verses, there is nothing much to understand as such, but a lot to remember, a lot to be held on to. That is very necessary, friends. These two faculties are different. Many things we need to understand, get clarified. We have to listen to the various the commentaries, the discussions and all that, but what we need more now after doing that is to remember certain important ingredients for our spiritual practice, and that is the cultivation of the angelic or divine qualities and removal of the demonic tendencies in us. And that is this 16th chapter that we have started study of since last Friday. These tendencies, the demonic tendencies and the tendencies which are angelic or divine, godly tendencies in us, both are there in us. Not that we have only godly tendencies and no demonic tendencies in us. In that case, of course, had it been, we won't need to listen to the Bhagavad Gita from Lord. If we have absolutely no trust of the anti-ideal tendencies in us, then we are right there. We have already realized the truth. But we have those tendencies in us, which we shall see in details. And we also have the tendencies that require us to realize the truth. These tendencies tell us, well, hey, what are you doing with your life? Who are you? What is your true self? And all that, these ideas, they are also making presence in us. And so, therefore, both these things are to be properly studied, clearly seen, and remembered. More importantly, as I was telling, this chapter is more for remembrance, for holding on to these ideas so that we implement them. The divine or angelic qualities were told in the three verses that we saw last time. Abhayam sattva samshuddhir jnana yoga vyavasthitihi danam damascha yajnascha svadhyaya stapa arjavam ahimsa satyam akrodha त्यागः शान्तिरपैशुनम् दयाभूतेश्वलो लुक्त्वं मार्दवं रीरचापलं तेजक्षमा धृतिशौचम् अद्रोहो नातिमानिता भवन्ति संपदं दैवीं अभिजातस्य भारत. फियरलेसनेस, प्यूरिटी ऑफ हार्ट, steadfastness in the yoga of knowledge, charity, self-control, sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, uprightness, non-injury, truthfulness, absence of anger, self-sacrifice, tranquility, freedom from slander, kindness to beings, non-covetousness, gentleness, modesty, absence of fickleness, boldness, forgiveness, fortitude, purity, absence of hatred, absence of conceit. These belong to one born for the divine wealth or a descendant of Bharata. That it is told that, well, if a person is looking for realization of God, that means that there are these tendencies, at least in the seed form. We all have these tendencies in us. Not that we are completely devoid of them. All of these are in us, but needed to be cultivated. Means, you know, when you have seeds, then you have it in one form. But still they need cultivation. What all that we need to do is to cultivate those seeds. So we have the seeds of all these divine tendencies. But we have to look for them and remember them, cultivate them. So, like we have the flowers in the seed form, but then they are not flowers, we have the seeds. We have to cultivate them, we have to take good care of them, and thus from those seeds we will get the plants and the flowers. So also all these things like abhayam, fearlessness, sattva samshuddhi, the purity of our mind, all these things are there in us, but they are only in the seed form. They need to be cultivated. We all are sometimes feel fearlessness, but at many other times we are overtaken by various types of fears. So, and then that fear, what does it do? Many times this fear makes us commit wrong things and do not do the right things. We know at times in our heart that this is the right thing, but the fear grips us and says, well, if you do this, then maybe some harm will come to you. And thus, as a result, although we know that it is right, we don't go to do it because of fear. And that is why Swami Vivekananda has said quite a few times that all sins are the outcome of fear. And we are afraid, and thus we do the wrong, sinful acts. Fear is at the root cause of these. And then sattva samshuddhi, we saw that it is the purity of heart, that our intent should be pure, it should be kept pure. We know that it is good to do it, but yet it doesn't always remain so, and therefore assiduous cultivation of this seed of purity of intent has to be done. The thoughts opposite to that are to be eliminated, and this aspect is to be meditated upon. It requires thinking. How to cultivate these seeds is by meditating on them, and wherever there comes a chance, giving scope to them. So that is the way it gets cultivated. So purity of intent, and that automatically will bring the corresponding purity of action too. And then what is told, jnana yoga vyavasthiti, steadfastness in the yoga of knowledge. A yoga of knowledge means that to know what is right and what is not right, and also what is in the 13th chapter that has been discussed in great details, that what is permanent and what is impermanent. To think of these, always try to think about this, what is permanent and what is not permanent. Many problems that we have in life is because we ascribe permanence to that which is intrinsically impermanent. And that is how we get attached to those things and thus get bound by that. These words sometimes create wrong impressions, impermanence is, if it is felt, we won't get attached. We don't get attached to things which we know to be impermanent. Know means not just knowing here in the brain, but knowing in the heart, knowing in our awareness that they are impermanent. Then we do not develop attachments for them. The example I gave last time, we do not get attached to our seat in the aeroplane because we know that it is only for a short time that we are sitting there. We sit there for that time. As soon as the plane lands, we get up. In fact, we are in a hurry to get up. So it is similarly when we know that the things in the world, all our relations with other people, all our relations with different places, they are temporary, they are not permanent, then we lose attachment for them. We don't lose love. Again, this is an important thing to remember, that we many times confuse love with attachment. Actually, if we analyze, we can see the two things are opposite of each other. Where there is more love, there is less attachment. And where there is more attachment, it is the selfishness that passes for love. Therefore, we have to understand this, that this jnana yoga vyavasthiti, that steadfastness of this, that whenever we are thinking of various things, various people, dealing with them at various levels, let us keep this thought, that whether it is permanent or whether it is impermanent. If it is impermanent, then as soon as this feeling gets in, then we won't get attached to it. And thus we will feel the liberation. We will feel the freedom that we seek. So the freedom comes from this, and so this establishment, that also will reduce many other problems that we get, like anger. If we see that situation as coming and going, then we will not feel terribly angry towards it. We will not harbor hatred towards it. So we will see that the understanding of this and steadfastness in this, that analysis of whether it is permanent or whether it is impermanent. One of our great Swamis, he used to always say very feelingfully that always see what is going to remain and what is going to go away. What comes and goes and what remains. So always think of that. Sri Ramakrishna tells the devotees that how can one get liberated even though one is living a householder's life. And that he said that have this nitya nitya viveka. What is nitya means permanent, and what is anitya means impermanent. And learn to separate them in your day-to-day life. So this is, and then dana, the tendency to give, and then dhamaha, tendency to control. There is a propensity always to just that impetus to do something without thinking whether it is right or not right. So a control should be observed, that yes, let me first think whether it is right to do or not right to do, and then go for it. It is this control is an important thing in a spiritual aspirant's life. Without this control, without in fact all of these great qualities, there will be the knowledge about the self sitting in the brain, but nothing will come into our practice, and therefore it won't be of any use actually. It is like the knowledge that there is lot of treasure hidden, buried under the ground, but unless you take it out, there is no use of it. You will still be living a life of beggar in spite of this knowledge. So also without cultivation of these great qualities, there won't be the actualization of this spiritual knowledge in one's life. There should be yajna, that is the sacrificing. There should be sacrifice in one's life that helps to make this knowledge steadfast. And regular study and spiritual practices have to be done on principle. Whatever is told by the Guru, whatever is to be done regularly as the upasana, what is called upasana, a beautiful word is there, upasana, and that is, what does it mean, upasana? That is constantly, you know, every day, at fixed times, sitting and performing those rites told by the teacher to connect you to the inner divine wisdom. That is called swadhyaya. And then some austerities are to be followed too. There should be that tendency to be austere in life. What is this austerity? It's a very beautiful idea, friends, which gradually further develops into control. It is our senses, they have the tendency, the organs and the mind, they have a tendency to go for various pleasures and comforts, which create the bondage around. And so whenever there is a tendency that I will have this, tell, no, you won't have this. And that is how, just as the conscientious parents, they train the children that, oh yes, there is this natural tendency to grab something or to go out anywhere here, there, to eat anything, but then control is put there. That is tapa. It is called tapas because it is a resistance. There is the propensity to do something, but then you restrain. No, I will not let you do it. And to develop it, give a reverse training. This tapas had been explained by one of my teachers that, look, there is this natural tendency of the mind. It's like a metal sheet rolled. When you buy, say, at Home Depot or somewhere, you get it in a roll. And now, when you use it, you cannot use it in the roll form, you have to keep it flat. Now you try to flatten it, it again gets rolled. So now those who work with them, they know that therefore they have to reverse roll it. They roll it reverse, so that it is, after some time, then it comes out flat. So similarly, there is the tendency always to eat, then so you do. Okay, one day I will not let you eat at all. You don't die thereby. And the idea is to keep these things under check. And that, okay, on one day a week I will see that you won't get anything to eat. Or you will get only certain things to eat, and so forth. The idea is, should not be, you know, sometimes, especially with Hindus, they carry it rather too far. And that weakening the body is not at all the idea there. It is, the idea is to establish a conscientious control over the tendencies. Because the senses get into a habit, we need to break those habits and bring them under control. That is why this tapa, austerity. So, and then straightforwardness in dealing. One should be clear, straightforward. There shouldn't be that kind of so-called clever dealings. Hiding something, trying to cheat somebody in various ways, or distort the things so that a wrong impression gets created in people. So those ideas are to be shunned by spiritual aspirants. One should be straightforward to realize the truth. And Sri Ramakrishna used to lay a lot of stress on this, a straightforwardness. That be clear, straightforward, open. Don't try to hide and distort the things to give wrong impressions to others. And this is a really very beautiful, blessed quality that makes you one's life full of lot of joy. And then non-injury, one should not have the thought of hurting others. This should not be taken as many take, unfortunately, as vegetarianism. Ahimsa doesn't mean that by being vegetarian, not that you do not do, you avoid killing. Everything is full of life. It is, if you are eating tomato, still you are killing. What it means is ultimately that there should be absence of enmity towards anyone. The idea of hurting, causing pain, causing hurt to anyone, that is what is meant here. That includes using harsh language or manipulating to hurt somebody in various different ways. It is called is himsa. The Sanskrit word himsa has the actual meaning as the intent to hurt, the feeling of enmity and hatred. That is what is himsa. Absence of that is ahimsa. Truthfulness in life, akrodha, not getting angry. This needs to be cultivated. The anger comes spontaneously in everyone. because our life is full of so many desires which keep on multiplying, and whenever they get obstructed by anything, there is irritation and anger. Even if we don't see a person who probably might have caused the anger, still wells up and then goes on any unknown object. Like I saw somebody the other day, was walking, didn't see, and then hit the foot to the chair. And now she kicked the chair. This stupid chair. Got all the anger on that stupid chair. Now who is stupid there? But that is how our life goes, getting angry, getting irritated. So it needs to be put under control. That it is an effort is needed for that, friends, not to get angry. There are two things, friends, here: expression of the anger and absence of anger. Avoiding expression of anger is one thing, because you see that the situation around is not really congenial to express the anger, you suppress it. Because you may get, you know that there will be some certain bad results for you if you express it now. But then it goes deep into psyche. There it gets converted into hatred. It goes on seething anger, you know. So you won't say any bad words, but you may be muttering to yourself and grinding your teeth or some such things. Inside it will get there. Maybe outside you may sport a smile too, but yet that it is getting angry, is that part is still there, and that is to be eliminated. No anger should be there. Even if you speak, there is a wall opens and some anger comes out, but it should go away quickly. It should not remain there. It should be just as Sri Ramakrishna used to say, that it is then better, you know. It, he used to say, it is like the line on, you draw a line on water. Now that line doesn't stay on water, it appears for a time, but then it goes away quickly. So that is there is an expression of anger, but really no anger. Whereas in places there won't be any expression to anger, but yet there would be anger. So what is here, what is meant here as a spiritual quality is removal of that tendency to get angry. And then there should be renunciation in life. The more it comes in our life, the more our spiritual values, they become enhanced. All those things become more steadfast through the practice of renunciation. There is therefore, in many places you will see that the spiritual life is identified with renunciation. Why so? Because that is the major of it. The more is renunciation in life, the more is the spiritual wisdom that has become practical or is getting manifested. It is otherwise, the absence of renunciation means that the person may have a lot of information, lot of knowledge, lot of philosophical understanding, but the clinging is still to these earthly things. So therefore, renunciation is the measure of how much one has progressed in the spiritual virtues. Very important something. And there should be a peaceful demeanor, shanti. Person should have that calm attitude. Needs to be developed. We all know that it is it should be peace. We should be peaceful. So we should be peaceful. It needs to be developed. And an important thing to know to do it is not to think that therefore the others should be like this and like this and like this. I will be shant, that is calm. I will be peaceful only if my wife is doing all these things. The other day somebody was telling that I want to be calm, but my husband, he does like this, and then I lose all calm. So that should not be the case. You should remain calm irrespective of what somebody else is doing. Then only it is a spiritual virtue. If your calmness depends on what people in the world are doing, then it has no meaning. It should be your virtue. Your intrinsic nature should be such that you should remain calm. My wife is doing, or what my husband is doing, and what the people around me are doing should not make me get irritated. Irritation is not the way to even solve the problems in the world. Many times I am made to listen to this, that well, look, those people, what they are causing this harm to this, the whole world. Well, then by your irritation you are adding a little more to it, that's all. It is not by irritation that you can solve those things. You have to at least be calm and then see what you could do. The calmness also is very infectious, friends. If you are calm, then you can give that calmness to somebody around. And then that will make the situation also a little better. It is so this shanti. And apaishunam is that absence of this evil nature in us, that it is translated as freedom from slander, but that is not the only meaning associated with it. Slanderer, that people slander, but that is one aspect only, as an important aspect of being Pishuna. Pishuna means having that intrinsically the nature to cause problems, to hurt, to cause disturbance everywhere. Whether you get a benefit out of it is not the question at all. It is at least understandable that if you are getting a benefit by hurting somebody, then all normal people, unless they are spiritually or developed in their hearts, otherwise, if you see that by hurting somebody's interest, my interest gets served, and nobody in the law is not likely to catch me on it, then a person will go for it. But Pishunata is worse than that. Even if my interest is not being served, even if I am not getting anything out of it, in fact, even if I am getting hurt in the process, I will try to cause hurt to others. I will try to disturb the others. That there are in a Sanskrit verse showing four types of different people. One is the best kind of people, that they do not care even if they lose things in helping others. They are very charitable. They don't mind if they get in the process, they come to a loss, but they want to help others. That is the best category. Very few are like that. Then there are the good normal people who, if they have no, if they don't get hurt, they are ready to help others to the extent they can. They want to help others if it doesn't cause any problem or to them. To that extent, they are ready to help others. They are good people in the world, normal good people. Then there is the third category who, for their benefit, would cause hurt to others. They are the evil people, that I want something, so therefore I can. It doesn't matter in the process that others get hit, others get killed. That's I can't help it. It is so. For achieving my particular selfish interest, if others get killed or whatever, I just term it as collateral damage. That's it. So that is an evil tendency. But there is still worth something. That the idea, whether I get any benefit or not, my pleasure is only in causing hurt to people. So that is the fourth category. That is actually Pishunata. And the absence of that is very important. Needs to be cultivated. That no, my pleasure, my happiness should never lie in seeing somebody else suffering and miserable. Daya bhuteshu aloluptvam, that there should be the cultivation of that compassion for others, and there should not be the tendency of covetousness. It should be controlled conscientiously. If you see something nice with somebody else, a desire comes, I should also have it. I should also have that particular thing with me. You see some good looking car with somebody, oh, I should possess that. That tendency to possess, a spiritual aspirant has to curb these things. Otherwise, it is impossible, friends, in spite of our very clear understanding in the brain. Intellectually, we may understand these things very well, but unless these tendencies, these seeds are cultivated, we will not be able to progress even an inch. And that is why Swami Vivekananda has said that even an inch of progress is more than a lot of frothy talk. It is very important. You know, the actual progress takes place through this. And Mardavam, the dealing of this person is automatically, you know, that does not want to be aggressive and be hurting. It is always very courteous and soft, that you can see. So, and there will be the modesty, and then a chapalam will not be fickle. See, this is an important spiritual quality, that you make a resolve and then one should hold on to it. One should not be fickle about it for some minor reasons. You just say that, that's all right, that's not important. No, that keeping the resolve is very important in spiritual life. That gives us a self-confidence, and our willpower increases by that. It is, we make a resolve today, and then for no reason, or just on some very petty excuse, the resolve drops away. Sometimes even we don't care to understand it as lapse. I thought like that, but then it didn't happen. We don't say that I did not stick to my resolve. Our language changes there. Funny thing, I pointed it out to somebody that when that person has to do something and didn't do, then doesn't say that, well, I didn't do it. When the person does it, then says, yes, I did it. But when doesn't do it, the language changes. Oh, unfortunately, it didn't work out. Means that the blame is not mine. It is unfortunately, it didn't work out. When we say something, we should understand the seriousness of it. When we make a resolve about something, we should take it very seriously. It is a spiritual quality, friends. Without this, progress in spiritual life is very, very difficult. Because it will keep on depleting one's willpower and making one feel depressed. See the inside psychological effect of not sticking to your resolve. You have told lie to the world is not that important, but you have told lie to yourself. When you see that somebody has told lie to you, immediately that person falls in your esteem. Much more you fall in your own esteem, and that is very, very detrimental to this spiritual progress. If somebody else falls in your esteem, it is neither you nor that person gets much hurt, but it is much more hurtful if you fall in your own esteem, that yes, I had thought of doing like this. In fact, I made a resolve, I will do like this. Didn't do it. Not because of any really unsurmountable obstacles, but just didn't pay enough attention to it. I took it too lightly. What does it matter? Not a big deal. It is not a big deal, externally speaking, may not be. Inside it is a big deal. It causes lot of depletion in one's self-esteem, and also therefore one's spiritual progress. That person can just present a brave front, but that is not the solution to it. One has to therefore make a very concerted effort to stick to the resolves that one makes, and that is very important for actual spiritual progress in life. And then there is the teja. One should have the boldness, and that yes, if you know something is not right, one should have the courage, the boldness to say that. It is the boldness doesn't mean that one should get angry and irritated, but out of fear, and then if I say what will happen, or you feel kind of that, try to suppress those things. No, be bold about it. What is wrong there? Then forgiveness should accompany it. Then fortitude. One should have that, yes, there will be various problems in life. Just hold on to the truth, hold on to your spiritual practices, hold on to your ideals in spite of them. Purity, absence of hatred, absence of conceit, these belong to one born for the divine wealth, O descendant of Bharata. So, that is to indicate Arjuna, indicate to Arjuna that yes, all these virtues are there in you. You are born with them. We are all born with them. Let us remember that if we are not born with them, we will not be able to even understand these words. We have them in seed form, and it is cultivation of that is important. And then now it is being told what are the demonic tendencies. First they will be told in short, and then will be elaborated later. Dambho darpo vibhanascha krodha parushyame vacha ajnanam cha bijatasya partha sambadamasurim. Ostentation, arrogance, self-conceit, anger, rudeness and ignorance belong, O Partha, to the one who is born for demonic wealth. So, we all have these tendencies also, otherwise Lord wouldn't have told us. But it is here that comes, as it is told in the next verse, the fifth one. Daivi sampad vimokshaya nibandhaya surimata ma shucha sampadam daivin abhijato si pandava. Divine wealth is deemed to lead to liberation and the demonic to bondage. Grieve not, O son of Pandu, you are born for divine wealth. That wealth, if we cultivate the divine qualities, these virtues, then by that we will be able to get liberation. The goal of life would be achieved. If not, we will get more bound by the demonic things. It is therefore the twofold, like a farmer, you know, a good analogy is that of a farmer. A farmer has to sow the seeds that he wants to take the crop off. Sow the right seeds, put the right amount of water and fertilizer, take good care so that you get a bumper good crop. But that is not enough. When you give water, when you give fertilizer, the other weeds, they also start coming up. And so a big work in farming is weed out. I used to see Nancy and others, more efforts are required to weed out those things. If you allow them also grow, then they will certainly hamper the growth of the seeds that you want to grow. So therefore, the demonic tendencies, they need to be checked and eliminated. The angelic tendencies, the divine tendencies need to be assiduously cultivated. The divine tendencies will lead to liberation. Without them, one cannot get liberation. And that is why one should cultivate them. And the demonic tendencies have to be, with great efforts, eliminated. This is the practical hints for spiritual life. Therefore, as I told in the beginning and today, that there is nothing much to understand here. This is not philosophy. These are the things to be remembered and worked on. So, any questions about today's discussion? Yes, dear. Yes, yes.
You know, when you talk about the four categories of people.
Huh?
The four categories of people.
That's right, yes.
Well, I was thinking, it made me think of an experiment in that Yale University in 1962. Daniel Miller was one of the experiments. If you remember the one where people were supposed to ask the person a question, when they got a wrong, when they gave the wrong answer, it was actually the person that was an actor.
Mm.
They would give them a shock. And these people, they didn't really want to shock this person, you know. And, but there was a man with a quite old coat that he must have been like a foreigner. He must have been, you know, to be all right. And if the person that was being shocked would purposely ask the wrong question, and they would increase the voltage each time, even though the guy was laying about a bad eye, 65% of them went all the way to the top number of voltage, 65%. So what category was those people
in? Well, it is... difficult to say, but then that is our description.
Somewhere
it is. Yes, yes, yes. It is. We get the shocks, but yet we keep on doing it. When others do the same thing, we criticize them. But when I do it, you know, it is the world, nature of the world, and I am part of it, so it is excusable. It is true that therefore these efforts are to be put to cultivate the right things. There is otherwise there is this another beautiful Sanskrit couplet says that it is we don't want the results of the bad actions. But we commit bad actions. We want the results of the good actions, but we don't go to do the good actions. Punyasya phalam icchanti punyam nechanti manavaha. That the punya, that is the good deeds. The result of the good deeds are wanted, and not doing good deeds. We don't want the results. Papasya phalam nechanti. The results of the evil deeds, we don't want the results, but still take pleasure in committing those evil deeds. Papam kurvanti yatnatah. In fact, put in lot of efforts to do those evil deeds. So, this is what human nature is. That is why we have this Bhagavad Gita and scriptures to train us. This is part of training. And education and training, why these two words are used? Education gives you, say, kind of knowledge and understanding. Training is practicing that knowledge. Like reading a book on driving, and then in the driving school, you are given the training. Come on, drive here, practice. So it's like that. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. And just one announcement on coming Tuesday, and there will be, it is the 1st January, there will be a special program, Kalpataru Day, that Sri Ramakrishna appeared on this particular day, what is called in popular language, a wish fulfilling tree. And so that day is observed. The program will be from 1 o'clock, from 11 o'clock in the morning till about 1 o'clock with some worship, singing, reading, and potluck lunch. So you can join that program. There will be on Tuesday, because of this program, there will be no Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna class in the evening. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanya Shastra Visvarai Ya Swayam Padmanabhasya Mukha Padmadvina Shrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantraha Tasya Namaniyani Karmapyekam Tasya Devasya Seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.